All right, welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and tune in as well. You know, Valentine's Day is the 14th of February, and if you're interested in something creative, original, something just for the Phil Henry fan who is the love of your life, we suggest that you get the special that we're offering on our website, a backstage pass. We have a year's backstage pass gift subscription for you if you buy a year's subscription. So you get one year, and you get a year free, and it's for your Valentine. It's a you know, it's a gift subscription for the Valentine in your life.
Well, that would be said last hour.
Yeah, I don't want to go there if you don't mind.
Well, it has to be dealt with, though.
No, we're not. No, it doesn't. First of all, it doesn't have to be dealt with. Second of all, the only reason why you guys want to deal with it.
Well, what did you say?
Did you notice that, General? He goes, you slur your words, Phil, as if you've either stroked, you're getting ready to stroke.
Never mind, okay?
Get ready to stroke.
I'm going to kill you, man, okay?
You just said you're going to kill me.
Right, I am. I did. I am. I'm going to kill you. If you don't shut up, I'll kill you, and I'll gladly go to prison, okay?
Mom, Mr. Henry.
Hold on. I'll kill you, bud, and gladly go to prison, okay?
Yes, sir. You're not really going, though.
Yes, I will. Yes, you don't understand. Yes, I will. I'll kill you and gladly go to prison.
Bud, don't try it.
Just cool out, okay? Now, I heard the big joke last hour about how, well, if you're a woman, don't give a BSP to the man in your life, because that's really crude and vulgar. And that would take your crew, this crew that I got right here, the minds that you guys have, all of you together, yes, you too, Margaret, it would take your minds swimming in the sewage that it does. Don't, where are you going?
I do not have to listen to this.
Sit down, please. You guys, you're the one that brought it up.
Well, Margaret, you did bring it up.
Only as a way of warning the women out there that if you give a man a BSP from this man's website, it means something else.
Wow. Well, you really got a low opinion of me.
I didn't say that was a low opinion. I didn't say that at all.
In fact, Phil, it may actually be, coming from a woman's perspective, a very high opinion. But nonetheless...
All right, never mind. So be sure to go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and get yourself a backstage pass, whether you're a man or a woman.
Yee-hoo!
All right. So we are all wrapped up in the Super Bowl predictions. We do have some Justin Bieber news, but I do have, Steve Bozell wanted to weigh in. And I got just one other thing here on the... Well, you know what? Let's wait till the last hour to do that stuff. Tell Steve to take a powder, will you?
Yeah, Steve. Hey, Steve.
Do it off the air. How many times I got to tell you this?
Well, he's on right now.
I understand that, but I got other stuff I got to do. All right.
Yeah, Steve, you don't want to talk to you right now. You got to call back next hour.
Thank you very much, bud. Okay. The,
What? Yeah.
Give me the phone, will you?
He wants to talk to you. Can't be talking because he's on the air right now.
Give me the phone. Steve? Steve? Hey, Steve. Oh, April, how are you? You're not... No, I know you're not Steve. Then why did Bud say... Why did you think this is Steve?
Is it April?
Yes.
Well, he sounded a lot alike.
Yeah, April, tell Steve we'll talk to him in the final hour. Tell Steve we'll talk to him in the final hour. April? Who's this? It's Steve. Okay, Steve. What? Steve's angry that you called April Steve. Talk to him, will you?
Hey, your wife sounds just like you. Hello? Yeah, hello.
What happened?
Hung up.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much for that. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
So in other words, his wife sounds just like him.
Sounds like it to me. I said, is this Steve? And she goes, yeah, Steve. I go, hey, Steve, how you doing? She goes, oh, no, it's April.
What?
Oh, man. All right. So last night, as you know, we got a little bit into the whole Bieber. There's more Justin Bieber news. Not that that's the most heavy thing that's going on, but in our world it is. I got to tell you, I can't think of anything heavier. Where are my glasses? Oh, here they are.
They're on the floor, Phil. You know, I wanted to point something out to your listeners. I've known Phil for, a good 5-6 years, and I've never seen a man who's able to drop his glasses on the floor. Why are they always on the floor?
I don't know. I think it's because I put them down, and then I go and get some news copy, and they just fall on the floor. All right, pop star Justin Bieber was granted reentry Friday into the United States following a search of his private airplane by federal officials. Dig that. And that was in Teterboro, New Jersey. Margaret Gray has more.
Thank you very much, Phil. Yes, pop star Justin Bieber is back safe and sound in the United States. I say safe and sound even though he is a Canadian citizen. He re-entered the United States following the arraignment there in Canada, having to do with the limousine driver he was alleged to have assaulted. Now, the plane was searched by federal officials who they said detected an odor of marijuana after it landed in New Jersey. The plane carrying Justin Bieber and others, presumably his entourage.
What is that?
His entourage.
That's the French way.
Entourage, okay.
No, no, not entourage, okay. The entourage.
Okay.
You know, Phil, if I've got to go down for the count teaching you this, I will. The plane carrying Bieber and others, presumably his entourage, was clearing customs after touching down at Teterboro Airport when U.S. Customs... What are you laughing at?
Well, it said touch the Teterboro.
Margaret, if he laughs, don't, you know, keep referring... You don't notice it, okay?
How can I not notice it when this imbecile is sitting there with snot coming out of one... Look at that.
Phil, that is very difficult to... He's got snot coming out of one nostril.
Well, it's funny.
All right, if you're going to laugh, and I don't think that it's a crime to laugh, if you find something funny, you have to stifle it. And would you please use a Kleenex or something, because you've got drip coming out of one nostril.
That's all, Connie. He was trying to stifle a laugh, and the snot come out of his nose.
Yeah, what do you expect?
I don't care what you do, bud. You can strangle yourself, smother yourself. You can hang yourself for all I care. I don't want to look at the snot coming from the nose.
Well...
No. I don't want to see it.
You understand?
Yeah.
So what was he laughing at anyway?
Never mind what he was laughing at.
All right, so the plane touched down. Oh, that was it. Touched the teeter. Is that what you find funny?
Yeah. Sorry.
The plane touched down at teeter... You know what? Forget it.
Come on, Margaret. Now do it.
Margaret, you got to be a professional.
Oh, get a load of you guys telling me what a professional is. All right. Give it to me. I'll show you how it's done. I'm a professional, and I know how it's done. Let me show you how it's done.
All right, show me.
Go ahead, Margaret, show us.
All right, I'm going to show both of you guys, men, how me, a woman, gets it done. Hold on.
What?
I've got to go to the toilet.
They heard that.
Well, then why don't you turn the microphone off?
All right, Margaret's in the toilet, so let me just tell you that...
No, you can't do it. Read something else.
So we'll be back to the Justin Bieber news here in just a moment, folks. We also had a story here on Kanye West. See, the whole thing about these guys getting into fist fights, what is this about? I don't know. We'll find out. The Super Bowl is only days away, and the FBI and New Jersey authorities are on alert after six hotels received envelopes containing, quote, suspicious white powder, as well as a New Jersey post office.
Now, they had suspicious white powder and a New Jersey post office in them.
What?
That's what it said.
No, it says that the envelopes containing suspicious white powder as well as a New Jersey post office.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, the envelopes didn't also have a New Jersey post office in them, so I'm thinking that these were envelopes that were received at hotels and a New Jersey post office.
Oh, okay.
God, bud, what's up with you, man?
What? Oh.
Okay.
What are you doing? Are you barking for sea lion of the year or something? Get it? Barking?
Yeah. We're going to go and take a break now.
Are you angry?
No, I'm not angry. We just need to start all over again. You done?
Yes, I'm done from the toilet, so we can...
We'll do it after this break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, why are you going to a break now?
Because it's 14 after the... We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Back with more on the Bieber thing and more on the suspicious white powder thing and more on the Friday thing. More on the Friday and more on the let's get the hell out of the Friday thing. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. They join us online at our online store and pick up some Phil Hendry stuff, man.
You can get the CDs and you can get the Margaret Gray. No, is my CD...
No, your download is not ready yet.
My download isn't ready yet. Boy, I'll tell you, it gets more insulting, you know?
Well, that's not a very nice way of putting it, Phil.
I don't care, man. That's what it's called, Margaret. I'm sorry, but we will have Margaret Gray Best Of downloads. We have Bobby Dooley. We have Ted Bell. And all of our great Best Of CDs, you can pick it up at philhenryshow.com in our online store. All right. Now, getting back to, I guess we can get back to Bieber, and then we'll get back to the suspicious white powder.
Well, there isn't anything suspicious about it. It was cornstarch.
Yeah, what's suspicious about that?
They didn't know what it was at the time, okay?
Why can't they tell? You see, that blows me away.
They don't know, man, when they look at cornstarch. Do you know what it is?
Do I know what is?
Do you know what cornstarch is when you look at it?
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't know about cornstarch, but I know it. If I look at a suspicious white powder, and it's sugar, I'll know it's sugar.
Yeah, but that's granulation. That's not a powder.
The what?
It's granule, you know?
Granules. It's not powder. That's what Bud's saying.
Oh, is that what he's saying? Look, Dickman, don't take it places where you don't have a passport. You know, you're in safe ground here, but if you go into the land of the general gets pissed off, you don't have a visa for that. You understand?
No.
That's pretty colorful, General, but I'm not even sure I understand.
You're not even sure? That's what you just did.
I'm not sure I understand. All right, so
I don't know what cornstarch looks like any more than I wouldn't know cornstarch from dandruff on your sweater.
Well, that's what it is.
It's dandruff.
No, it's cornstarch, and they didn't know. At least the people that were investigating it didn't know. They didn't know it was cornstarch. They thought it was suspicious, and they did what they should do, which was they alerted the authorities, and it was mailed to these places. But Margaret has for us more on Justin Bieber, so let's do that, huh, Margaret?
Yes, thank you, Phil. I don't know where you guys get off.
Well, we didn't think you'd come back.
What, you thought I was going to be on the toilet forever?
Sometimes it seems that way. Sorry.
Yeah. So anyway, I was saying that the plane carrying Justin Bieber and others, presumably his entourage, was clearing customs after touching down at Teterboro Airport when U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers said they detected the odor of marijuana. This is a young man who is not very careful, because you know the police detected marijuana when they pulled over his, whatever that car was?
I think it was like a Lamborghini.
Yeah, a Lamborghini, a yellow Lamborghini.
A yellow Lamborghini. Boy, I'll tell you.
Well, that's a waste of a good car.
Why, you don't like the color?
No, I do not. Are you telling me you do?
No, I'm not saying I'm a fan of yellow, but, hey, the guy's got money.
That is a real waste, you know, a yellow Lamborghini. What about royal blue? What about cherry apple, or not cherry apple, but what about candy cane?
What about celery red, or...
Celery red. Are you trying to be funny?
I mean, I'm sorry, celery green.
What? What do you mean celery green?
What is that?
That'd be a great color for a Lamborghini.
Celery green? Not like a British racing green.
What's that?
Well, British racing green is a classic dark, almost a forest green. Well, it's not maybe a forest green. It's a little lighter, but it's a gorgeous... It's what they call British racing green. It's what the old Lotus used to have on it, you know.
Well, what about celery green?
What do you mean celery green, Bud? That's a light, that's almost puke green.
Yeah, it's a cross between piss yellow and puke green.
Well,
piss yellow and puke green. No, Bud, celery green ain't getting it done.
Why? What about, like...
Never mind, okay? So anyway, Justin Bieber has a banana yellow Lamborghini, all right? It ain't celery green, and it ain't candy apple, whatever the hell it is that you said it was. Go ahead, Margaret.
Thank you, God. Drug-sniffing dogs were used to search the plane, according to one of the sources, but no sign of drugs were detected and no illegal substances were found. Bieber's interview was described by another law enforcement source as one that is carried out for anyone entering the United States, and that it can take 10 minutes or 10 hours. The interview is routinely conducted to ensure people entering the country are in compliance.
Now, is this because he was coming in on his own private charter?
Yes. When you're flying in, you're not on a commercial carrier, obviously, because there is a customs procedure and an immigration procedure set up for people on commercial carriers that they do not do the same way for people on private aircraft. So that's how they do that.
Where, do they have, like, their own place to go to?
Yes.
All right. So go ahead.
Anyway, Bieber was interviewed for several hours before being cleared to enter the United States. Said the official with direct knowledge of the matter. The official spoke in Dutch.
What's that mean?
He didn't want to speak and give his name on the record. The plane that Bieber arrived in sat on the airport tarmac for at least 4 hours, and CNN saw law enforcement officers getting off the plane. Now, news of the search comes just days after authorities released police documents that accuse the 19-year-old singer of being under the influence of alcohol, pot, and Xanax when police stopped him for allegedly street racing in Miami Beach. The origin of the flight was not clear Friday night. This week, Bieber was booked on an assault charge in Canada and so forth.
All right, so I don't know whether this is just a blip on the radar, you know, where you get... I don't know. It seems to me when this stuff begins to form its own little crowd of incidents, you know, like Lindsay Lohan or some of these other guys, that it just keeps on getting worse.
Well, I think, Phil, because I'm a mother and I have a son in entertainment, and when Jason J. Delmonico begins to get a bit claustrophobic as the fans crowd around, you've got a tough time breathing, it gets very stale, the air is tough to breathe, you're trying to move from car to hotel room, from hotel room to car, from car to stadium, stadium to car, well, from car to stadium, but then also from car to stadium.
What does that mean, also car to stadium?
Well, because you're going from the hotel, you're going car to stadium, and then the car stops. Then you've got to get out and go into the stadium. So that's car to stadium, car to stadium.
All right, well, why are we doing that?
That's probably the way you got to say it.
Yeah, that's the way you have to do it when you're in the security.
Yeah, on account of the security guys talk about it like that.
Okay, maybe I don't understand it.
No, you don't, Phil, and that's quite all right. So then you go into stadium, you do concert, you go concert, stadium, stadium, car. Not car, I mean...
All right, well, but you don't have to give us the whole, you know, security lowdown.
Well, I'm just telling you because I know this.
But your son is an actor, right?
Yes, he's an actor, but he has been a guest backstage for some very significant people.
Like who?
I'm not at liberty to say.
So, but just Jason, your son, has been backstage with some heavy hitters and has gone to and fro his own limousine.
Yes, but I cannot tell you. Little Kim.
All right. Well, you don't have to tell Little Kim. You don't have to tell us.
What's with Little Kim? What, is there something wrong with that? Oh, because she's black.
No, not because she... There's nothing wrong with it at all.
Well, I'm not at liberty, as I said. NSYNC.
Are you at liberty or are you not?
I'm not.
Well, Margaret, you just told us Little Kim and you told us NSYNC.
And I would very much appreciate it, General, if you keep it closed. The thing under your nose...
Excuse me, ma'am, but you're the one... Wow, you really want $300 worth.
Hey, guys, come on, Margaret. If you don't want us to know, don't say anything.
I don't want you to know. You're the one that repeated it.
All right, so suffice to say that Jason J. Delmonico, your son, has been in these kinds of high-pressure security situations, and you've said that they make him and would make any artist a bit claustrophobic.
Absolutely. Phil, you don't know until you've been there. You don't know. When he was backstage with Sugar Ray...
See, you just done did it again.
I just done did... Did you hear that?
But did you hear you, Sugar Ray?
Oh, okay. Well, let's let everyone know.
I don't want to hear you talk about any groups that your son has been with, okay?
I'm not. I said Sugar Ray, big deal. Mark McGrath is retired now. I think he's doing Entertainment Tonight, isn't he?
I don't know what he's doing. So what else?
Well, what I'm saying is the following thing. It gets claustrophobic. You can't breathe. It stinks. That's all I got to say.
Wow.
Well, there's a bit of hostility there, Margaret.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't like the fans.
Well, I don't like it when they crowd around my son, the only son that I have. He's a talented boy, but I don't like them crowding around him until the stink gets to you.
What?
I'm telling you, I love the fans very much. And God knows we'd be nowhere without the fans. Nowhere. But the stench.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about when the fans crowd around.
All right. I mean, what are you talking, just about the normal heat and temperature and body odor?
I'm talking that when the fans crowd around, the stink like to knock a buzzard off a crap wagon.
Well, that is a very harsh indictment indeed.
Well, sue me.
Margaret, I love the fact that you don't like people being rude to you, but by God, you just love being rude to people.
1 minute.
Just being rude to people, you just love it. All right.
No, I don't, Phil. I don't love it at all. I don't like to do it, but what are you going to do? What's a mother going to do? What's an N-word going to do?
Oh, God, man. Margaret, you know.
Don't worry about it. I'm conversant with that kind of language. I know those people. I'm Margaret Gray.
Oh, okay, so there's no...
There's no discussion after that.
All right.
This story's for you, Margaret. It's called Devil Woman.
30 seconds.
That's about me?
Yeah. You enticed a guy to have the sex.
You dirty little...
Hey! Gonna be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Ow! Yeah, she pinched me.
I could be free evermore.
What a baby.
But I don't want to be... And I don't want
10 seconds.
You look at me like that one more time, bud. I'm telling you, the
Five,
smell coming off,
four,
I smell fear from over here.
Two, one.
Hello, world famous Phil Henry Show back here on this Friday night with Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and General Galen Shaw. We got through all of our Justin Bieber stuff here. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police will be with us. Dave Oliva now is going to join us to talk about this white powder. Dave is a young man who is, he's a law enforcement student. He's a criminal justice student, I should say, at North Canyon College, Northern L.A. County, L.A. Canyon College, and joins us. He's also an aspiring police officer, and he's with us tonight at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Which we use oftentimes as a remote site for our interviews. I don't know. Ted's a very gracious guy, you know.
Yeah, he does it. I'm kind of going to get a promotion and everything out of it.
Thank you very much. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, Mr. I'm doing good. And he's right. You know, Bud Lickman.
My name is Dickman.
Okay, I'm very sorry. Mr. Lickman, it's not
Lickman. It's Dickman.
Lickman. Boy, that's a good one.
Are you kidding me, Lickman? Shut up, okay?
Well, look, I'm really sorry, Bud. I didn't mean that. It's Dickman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bud is talking about the white powder. Ted's at Beverly Hills. Yeah. Ted likes to have people do the interviews here, you know, because it's promotion for his restaurant.
No, I understand that, and we do thank Ted.
But you understand that I'm outside. He didn't let me in the main dining room. I have to stay out here where the valet is.
Say that again?
He doesn't let me inside because I'm not buying no dinner or anything, so I got to stay up by the valet.
He doesn't let you inside the restaurant?
No, I said, are you going to buy dinner? I said, no. He goes, well, can you do it? Can you do outside the valet?
You know something? I want to talk to him later on, okay?
What?
I want to talk to Ted later on. Okay.
Who you want to talk to?
I want to talk to Ted later on. All right, Dave.
Where, when?
Hey,
listen, Dick, but are you listening to him? He says he wants to talk to Ted later on, you numbskull.
Dad.
Later on. Okay, Dave, anyway, thank you for joining us here tonight. We are talking about this white powder that was found by the authorities in New Jersey and in New York. It was at a number of hotels. It was also found at a New Jersey postal post office of some kind, obviously a hoax, but one that is intended to induce fear, isn't it? Wouldn't you call that a sort of a terrorist attack?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting way to look at it, Mr. Henry. You know, a terrorism attack is there fear, you know, or are they going to, you know, create the terrorism that is necessary to create the terrorism that you need to have, you know?
What does that mean, create the terrorism to create the terrorism?
What? No, I didn't say that.
Well, in other words, there has to be fear in order to have an effective terrorist attack.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And so I think somebody sending white powder, you know, to hotels in New York where they're going to have the Super Bowl game this weekend, yeah, that you could say that's designed, you know, to cause terrorism. But by the same token, I don't think it's a very serious thing. I think it was cornstarch, as General Shaw indicated, you know, and so it's not really, you know, a serious attempt, I think, at putting fear into people, because the thing that's going to put fear into people is not only is it white powder, but hey, guess what? it's real, anthrax, and that's the terrorism that can be created, you know.
Talking to Dave Oliva, an aspiring Los Angeles police officer and a student of criminal justice at L.A. Canyon College. So generally when there are these kinds of hoax attacks or hoax incidents, it's generally a young person, correct?
Yeah, a lot of times it's young people. You know, if it's older people don't necessarily engage in this kind of thing unless they are very angry. And if it's an older person who's very angry, then he's targeting these hotels. So the first thing that you're going to do as the authority of New Jersey, or if you're the authority of New Jersey or the authority of, you know, which is not the right say. I'm not saying it a good way. If you're the New York authority, and you got authority over New York, you know.
Yeah, if you're the New York police authorities.
Yeah, if you're the New York police authorities, the first thing you're going to do is look to see if there's any disgruntled ex-employees or any people that have a particular problem with these hotels, an angry person or like that, you know. Now, a lot of times, people who have an anger problem, it's going to be a real threat. But this one was not a real threat. It was just designed to cause inconvenience.
But, I mean, if it's designed to cause inconvenience, designed to cause confusion, designed to cause a bit of an upheaval, it is, in point of fact, an effort to do that. And so you're saying it's personal?
A lot of times the police think it's something personal, yeah. So you look back at somebody. Just the average adult is not just going to, because I'm so angry, I'm going to mail a bunch of white powder to a bunch of places that I don't really have no connection to, you know. That doesn't sound like something that a grown-up person's going to do. That's something that a little teeny kid. Now, the only difference, you know.
Yeah, what is a little difference than an adult with a teeny kid head?
Well, see, that's just it right there, yeah, you know.
What do you mean, an adult with a teeny kid head?
No, what he's saying is an adult that has the mind of a little teeny kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that's possible. But that would then, therefore, be like a, I guess you'd say, or I shouldn't say the word, you know.
Don't use the R word, okay?
Okay, yeah, but I mean, that would be like a guy that's a mental retard, you know, or retarded.
But someone who's mentally disabled, someone who has emotional problems, someone who has perhaps some mental incapacity of some kind. That's how we get around using the traditionally, crude R word. We're talking here with Dave Oliva from L.A. Canyon College, as well as aspiring to be an L.A. police officer. That means the L.A. Police Academy.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
We're talking about the white powder that was mailed to the hotels in New York in advance of the Super Bowl. It was discovered to be a hoax. It was discovered to be cornstarch. And our number is 855-500-7445. Dave, General Shaw asked the question. I thought it was a pretty good question. Why can't you recognize that it is cornstarch just by looking at it?
Well, I mean, you can. I mean, an experienced law enforcement officer is going to, look at that and it's going to go, okay, yeah, that's cornstarch all the way, you know, 100%. Or experienced anti-terrorism, anti-terrorism unit is going to say, yeah. But if you're just some dude opening up letters and, you know, I mean, you're just like the mailman, I don't think you can really expect the mailman. You know, if you're a mailman and you're just going down the street and you're wearing like one of them hats that they wear, you know, Mr. Henry?
What hat?
The hats?
The pith helmet that mailmen wear.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I like that, yeah, like a pith helmet.
It's called a pith helmet, P-I-T-H.
Yes, sir. If you're just like the mailman going down the street, you know, whistling a tune and dogs are barking at you or whatever, you're not experienced to look into an envelope and go, yeah, okay, we've got a situation here. That's why I personally feel we do need to have more of that. I personally, unfortunately, because I am currently in college studying to be a police officer, I cannot do that. But I would love to see more young people go into being a mailman that can recognize anthrax, you know.
So you're talking about mail carriers with a much, much higher level of training in anti-terrorism.
Yeah, well, how do you know they're going to be able to deliver the mail good?
Well,
hey, well, man, are you kidding me or something, man? I mean, you know, you can deliver the mail good, but to have, to know, you know.
Yeah, but you, just like you said.
No, hold on for a minute, man.
This is a stupid conversation.
No, wait, hold on. I want to answer the gentleman's question, you know. If you're going to be an anti-terrorism, yeah, that takes training. Okay? It doesn't take nothing, man, to deliver the mail good. What are you talking about?
Well, okay, let me just interrupt. You're going to train them to be mail carriers, but you're also going to give them training in how to recognize certain packages and
yes, sir.
And certain, shall we say, threatening materials. And that would necessitate a much higher level of training. But you're saying, okay, all that training is going to detract from the main job, which is delivering mail.
Exactly. If you're training a guy how to recognize what cornstarch is and he don't deliver the mail good, that's great. Okay, fine. So I'm not going to have no cornstarch mailed to me. But guess what? Where's my mail? I don't know. See?
What are you talking about, man? You don't have no cornstarch delivered to you. You're talking about anthrax?
Or, I mean, yeah, anthrax.
Wait a minute. Wait, just hold on. What are you talking about?
Mr. Annie, that's what I'd like to know.
But hold on. I'll tell you. Bud is simply saying that while you train these mail carriers to become proficient in identifying threatening materials, as you said, Phil, whether it is anthrax or so on and so forth, that take care, have a care, that you don't carve up their training to put the mail in the right slot. It doesn't sound like it would be that difficult to me either, but I don't know.
Yeah, what if they're, because they always say, no sleet, no rain, no sunshine.
Oh, man, they don't see no sunshine.
Enough, Bud. We've answered your question. If you need any other, clarification, we'll do it during the commercial break. It's the Phil Hendry Show here with Dave Oliva as we talk about the most recent ridiculous diversion designed to take the attention of our law enforcement away from very serious things. Some white powder mailed to hotels in the New York metropolitan area. It was, of course, a hoax designed, as I say, to just kind of upset and confuse and everything else. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dave Oliva. We also have stories here to cover Amanda Knox. She's guilty again?
Yeah.
Phil Hendry Show. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We are heard live on a variety of radio stations across the U.S. of A. We're also heard live every night on TuneIn, Phil Hendry Channel on TuneIn. And you can hear us live on our website, audio streaming at philhendryshow.com. We have Dave Oliva with us here. Dave is a student at L.A. Canyon College. We talk about the threat to safety in New York. It wasn't a threat so much as a hoax and a disturbance. Some white powder was mailed to hotels in the New York area. And really what we're discussing now is not so much, the possibility that it was anthrax. It wasn't. It was cornstarch. But the diversion of our law enforcement away from much-needed, duties and having to deal with this kind of stuff, Dave.
Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, Mr. Henry, law enforcement was trained to, to deal with that. Whether it's a real threat or whether it's not a real threat, law enforcement is trained, to deal with that kind of a threat, and it's just part of the job.
So they gotta waste their time.
Well, I mean, it's not really wasting your time, man, because like, as President Bush used to say, and also to say President Obama, all they have to be is right one time, and the government's got, the police have got to be right every time too.
All right, let's go to a phone call here. Again, 855-500-7445 is the number. And Charlie, hey, Charlie, go ahead.
Well, it's wonderful to listen to your program. I wanted to talk to this young man. Your name is Dave, right?
Yes, sir.
Dave, you were talking about New York City at the beginning of the Super Bowl and white powder being mailed. Now, that was a scientist was they were closing in on a scientist for the anthrax attack. You're aware of that?
You talk about the anthrax, sir, of 9/11?
Yes, the anthrax of 9/11. They had identified a scientist by the name of Bruce Ivins.
Oh, yes, sir, I remember that very clearly, sir.
You do remember that?
Yes, sir.
Then you remember that man had taken his own life?
Yes, sir, I remember he killed himself.
So All right, so he killed himself. So who's sending this cornstarch?
What do you mean? I mean...
Well, in other words, if you've got someone that has the moxie to threaten six major hotels in the city of New York, and he also has the moxie to send this to a postal service in New Jersey, this has all of the earmarkings of this guy, Bruce Ivins, who's dead. So that means there's someone else sending it.
Well, yes, sir, but it's only cornstarch.
It's, what was it again?
It's cornstarch, sir. It's not anthrax.
No, I know that. I know it's cornstarch. I heard you and the other gentleman, whoever the host of the show.
Yeah, this is Phil Hendry, sir.
All right. I heard you, Mr. Hendry, and I heard another man say cornstarch and another man say dandruff. And you're saying it's cornstarch.
Well, yes, sir. It is cornstarch, but dandruff, I didn't...
That was someone else making a joke.
All right. So someone making a joke. All right. Now we're getting somewhere. So who then is sending this cornstarch? And the next question that has to be answered is, it's not dangerous because it's cornstarch, but who's sending it?
Well, I mean, they're going to find out, sir. Because Mr. Ivins is dead doesn't mean that there's nobody else that can do it.
Oh, no, I know that, but he was the most likely candidate, and he's dead.
Why would he be the most likely candidate? This is cornstarch. That guy that you're talking about, Bruce Ivins, was a biodefense researcher, a man who had access to lethal anthrax, a guy who was, you know, out to kill people. This is some cat sending out cornstarch.
I know that, Mr. Hendry, and I'm not one of your teenage listeners with the cat and hey man, and this cat. You know, this is not a cat, and this is not a hey man. This is someone that's trying to kill countless tens of thousands of people. You understand that?
Not with cornstarch, he isn't.
No, I know he's not going to kill people with cornstarch. I know that that's not going to be the case. But if that stuff was anthrax and someone had sniffed it in, like a lot of these lunatics do, and they're at a party, and you know how it is, they chop it up on a glass, on a mirror, I think is what they use, and they sniff it up, you know?
Why are they sniffing up cornstarch?
I didn't say they're sniffing up cornstarch. They sniff up the cocaine. Is what they do.
Charlie, thank you very much for your call, but you're not really making any sense.
Oh, wait a minute. I said that the cornstarch was being made. I understand that. What sense am I not making?
What are you talking about? They're snorting cornstarch. If they're supposedly going to be snorting anthrax to kill them, why would somebody chop that up on a tabletop, thinking it's cocaine?
Well, Mr. Hendry, I'm very familiar with your radio program and how you like to confuse people.
No, you're confusing me, sir. I don't understand how you go from cornstarch to anthrax.
Let me ask a question here, Charlie. This is Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
You're worried, as we all are, about a possible anthrax attack, correct?
I'm not worried at all about an anthrax attack because it's cornstarch.
That's exactly right, sir, yeah.
Well, then why did you call?
Because I wanted to know if they'd caught the guy that did it. And the guy that did the anthrax is dead because he killed himself.
All right, and because that guy killed himself doesn't mean there isn't another guy out there that can possibly send anthrax.
But this is cornstarch.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Right.
All right, so we all agree, right?
Yes, we do. We all agree.
I'm in agreement, yeah.
Me too.
All right, great. Thank you very much. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Great, thank you. So that's fantastic. That was, you know, what we're talking about here.
If I did something wrong, Mr. Hendry, you know...
No, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. You did everything fine.
Well, I mean, he was talking about...
No, that guy was confused, and I didn't even want to get into making him feel better about it. 855-500-7445. Let's go over here to the South Bay. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. And this is Jason. Jay, how are you doing?
I'm doing real good. And I wanted to just, first of all, congratulate Dave on his education. I think it's very, very important to get an education, and to, especially if you're going to go into law enforcement, you're going to want to make sure that you are as well-trained as you possibly can be. So my congratulations go out to you.
Thank you very much, sir.
First of all, when you're talking about in Citizens Auxiliary Police, are you familiar with us?
Yeah, I think I heard about the Citizens Auxiliary Police, yes, sir.
Okay, then you know that we do flare drop.
Yes, sir, I do. As a matter of fact, my cousin, saw a flare drop, I think, of yours, but he probably, maybe you were trying to stop him, I don't know.
What was that?
Well, you were doing a speed flare drop, and he kept speeding past you.
So that was your cousin, huh?
Well, I think it was, yeah, because he said he saw you trying to flare drop him, and he just went around.
Oh, well, I gotta tell you, that hurts. Yeah, to do that live on a radio like that.
Well, I'm sorry.
Let me just go past that.
Your cousin saw them flare dropping.
Yeah, and they think they're trying to flag him down. Were you trying to flag him down?
Yeah, I was trying to wave him down, I guess.
Yeah, and he just went around you.
Right, and then we sped up and got ahead of him.
Yeah, but you didn't do it fast enough because then he went around you again.
Okay, and your point's what?
Well, no, I mean, my point was simply that your flare drop wasn't doing too good, you know, and maybe you could use some pointers or something.
No, I don't need any pointers on flare drops. I don't need no pointers on flare drops. I don't need any pointers. All I wanted to tell you, young man, is that when you're talking about anthrax, when you're talking about anything that can be inhaled, you want to make sure you do a nasal swab. Do you know about a nasal swab?
Oh, yes, sir, I do know about a nasal swab.
All right, you want to make sure you do a nasal swab. And I was going to say the way you do that is you do a flare drop, but I guess if your cousin's driving around them...
All right, Jay, why don't you hang on and you can talk to Dave off the air and tell him how to more effectively do a flare drop so that those cats can, excuse me for saying cat there, Mr. LaFountain, so that those guys can swab the nose after they get the cars to stop, because you sure as hell can't do that if the cars are speeding past you.
That goes without saying, yes.
All right. We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show, the Amanda Knox story, and the Super Bowl, man. Steve Bozell, Vernon Dozier, and others coming right back.